I'm thinking this evening about sacrifices and about the supreme sacrifice. I've been reading through Exodus and Leviticus, and sometimes it gets a little tedious. And when I see how even one person, if they did the sacrifices that are prescribed there, could bring many animal sacrifices in a year, and then you take that times the thousands of people, it's just hard to wrap your mind around how many animals were sacrificed and how much blood was shed. So, while I'm not going to look into those books this evening, the one thing that I kept noticing, which was not new to me, but it was something that was asked of them almost without exception. It was said that it should be without blemish. So it wasn't just any old animal. And the leftover, and I had to think about that little story that David Yoder talked about the boy and his litter of pigs. And when the one died, he said it was the Lord's pig that died. Well, they were to give the best. And so I thought about both David and Solomon. Now, in terms of giving something that cost them something, here was David who had sinned by numbering his soldiers. And then when he was given a choice as to what his what his choice would be about the judgment that would come, he said, well, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. And so a plague came, and the angel of death throughout the land, and how many was it? 70,000 men died. And then when he came to Jerusalem, God had pity on David, and he was feeling so bad about the fact that he had sinned and others died. But then God, through the prophet Gad, told David to to go offer a sacrifice and go to Arauna the Jebusite. And I'm going to read, actually maybe I won't bother to turn to it, but what was taking place here was when he went, here he was, and here were the oxen, and there was threshing instruments. And when he told him what he wanted, he said, just take this. Don't bother to pay for it, just take it. And then I think probably most of you, these words are familiar. He said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. He said, no, I'm going to buy them. And so he bought the oxen and did a sacrifice there. Now, good to read some from 2 Chronicles 7. And here, it's almost mind-boggling. Solomon, after he'd built the temple and in the dedication of the temple, he had prayed this very lengthy prayer and in chapter 6. And then it says here at the beginning of 7, and I'll read the first 7 verses here. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And this is the part that I was leading up to. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. And is it any wonder? With that many, and I don't know how long that took, but I suppose there was a huge area there that they made the offering. Now, that was at the dedication of the temple. And then, right after this, it says in verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And without explaining what or why, but sometime in the future, if this happens, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and obviously it was because of something that they were going to do, that judgment would come. And then these words, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, nothing is said at this point about animal sacrifices. And it may very well be if and when that happened in the future and there was that repentance. But what is talked about here is the attitude. And so the attitude was one that needs to be one of repentance. And the focus right here is an animal sacrifice, but rather a heart attitude and repentance. And David understood this. And I referred to these verses recently in a message. I'm going to turn to them again in Psalm 51. So David understood that it isn't simply a matter of going through the motions and of offering that animal sacrifice, but a matter of the heart, if it's going to really be pleasing to God. Because he said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then after that, then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So it's the right attitude and not just the right actions. Now you can turn if you'd like to Hebrews 10. I'll be reading from there in a bit. And perhaps I'll just read several verses in Psalm 116. Now there the psalmist is asking the question, you know, now with all these benefits the Lord gives to me, he asks this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And it's not really repaying the Lord for all those good things that he does for us, but rather he was saying, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Sounds almost a little bit more like New Testament language. So I'm going to, since I was talking about sacrifices here, Hebrews, sometimes called the Book of Better Things, points out how the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is so superior to those animal sacrifices. And I realize Laverne spoke from this recently, and there he focused on what, well, I think that the title was Cleansed and Set Free by the Divine Will of Jesus. And you see, what it's saying here is, now, what you're asking of me, like Jesus is speaking, was not the sacrifices like they did. You prepared a body for me. Now, it's true in the end that body then was sacrificed, but it's talking about how he came. He said, I have come to do thy will, O God. And that is just the focus of his life ministry here on earth, was to do the will of his Father. And over he he says that, or numerous times he says that, in the book of John particularly. So going to read, I think, till verse 25 here. Be reading out of the American Standard. For the law, this is Hebrews 10. For the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually, this is what it can't do. It cannot make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having been once cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins, year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. And I think this is the verse that Laverne focused on. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands, you see, the priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind will I write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. And so we have gathered this evening, and I trust it can be an encouragement to us. Finishing then with reading a few verses from the Gospel of John. Now we were talking about Old Testament animal sacrifices. Now, John the Baptist, in introducing Jesus to his disciples, said it this way in verse 29, John 1, 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then the Apostle John, the writer of the book, says this of Jesus in verses 14 through 18. Talks about how by Jesus came grace and truth. And I was thinking that the word grace actually does not appear very often in the Gospels. It is in the epistles. And checked it out. And really, it talks about the Lord Jesus in Luke and says great grace was how does it say? Something about grace on him. Not sure that I'm getting quite the right wording. But other than that, it's just these few times here in John. And we talk about living in the day of grace. And so when I said that, or did I get it said? I was going to say it, that I'm just glad to be living in this era, in this dispensation, where we don't need to do all that those animal sacrifices. But, you know, let us not take the grace of God for granted. It says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And that is an awesome thought. Almighty God became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And I'm not quite sure. I was saying the gospel, the writer is saying this. I'm not quite sure where he's quoting John the Baptist, and so I'm not quite sure where that quote ends. But either way, what is being said, "Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him." He's saying no man has seen God, but his Son has revealed him to us. And in the epistle, let's see if I can remember it now, since I'm trying to memorize it in another translation, but "No man has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his word is made complete in us." So what a privilege to live in this day. And it's not just that we don't have to offer all those animal sacrifices. There's something more. We have relationship, a relationship with the one who takes away our sins. And as we read in Hebrews, he's going to put his laws in our hearts and in our minds. And elsewhere in Hebrews says, "I will be their God and they will be my people." And certainly, he had his people in the Old Testament. But there's a different dimension that is ours today. And he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is to be the sons and daughters of the Almighty. Shall we kneel? Our Father, we come into your presence this evening. We don't come in our own merits or own works. We come on the merits of Jesus. We thank you for what he did for us and the way he opened up the way to us and for a relationship that is possible. So as we're gathered this evening, we pray your blessing on each part of the service and look to you for blessing. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.